Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. You are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. And my goal each and every week is to bring each one of you more love, more happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. I ask you each week to listen to this show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show or anything else you do in your life and implement it. The opening quote today is, at the heart of personality is the need to feel a sense of being lovable without having to qualify for that experience. And this is from Dr. Paul Tournier. And the opening joke is a short one. Two boys walk into a pharmacy. They pick up a box of tampons and they proceed to the checkout counter. The man at the counter asks the oldest boy, "Son, how old are you?" 8, the boy replied. The man continued, "Do you know what these are used for?" The boy said, "Well, not exactly, but they aren't for me. They're for him. He's my brother. He's 4. We saw on TV that if you use these, you would be able to swim and ride a bike. Right now, he can't do either." Ha, 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 ha. I had to get a soundtrack, you know, that says laughing, and it'll be. Anyway, today's program is about reclaiming our power or giving our power away and becoming a victim. And each and every one of us at some point or points in our life give our power away. So the goal is to be able to recognize we're giving it away and then be able to take it back. And from my point of view, the way this starts is that we're taught from the time we're little babies, don't hurt anybody else's feelings. And we buy this because our whole universe are those people who taught us not to hurt other people's feelings. That may be mom, dad, grandparents, aunts, uncles. That's our whole universe when we begin this journey in this body. So most of us then from that point forward adhere to that doctrine, and therefore we stuff our feelings. And when we stuff our feelings, because we don't want to hurt other people's feelings, then our feelings are being hurt. And when we're giving our power away by not, quote-unquote, hurting other people's feelings. We live in a world that's run by fear. We all recognize that. I mean, you'd have to be a hermit and never have any contact with the outside world not to recognize that fear runs the entire world. And fear is another form of being a victim. Fear is a way we give our power away. We're afraid to get sick. We're afraid to die. We're afraid to lose our job. We're afraid we won't be able to pay our rent, our mortgage, our bills, whatever they're called, that something will happen to us, the people we love, and the list goes on and on and on. And we've talked about that before. We've talked about being a victim. We've talked about fear. And the challenge is to live today. I never understood that. Eckhart Tolle wrote a book years ago called The Power of Now. And if we can stay in the moment, in now, and not worry about something that may or may not happen, or fret over something that has happened, because in either case, what can we do about it? The victim belief is that other people do and say things that you have absolutely no control over, and you don't contribute to this negative event. I challenge that at all. That's the victim belief. And if you buy that, then I'd say, hey, no point in listening to the show because you're not going to listen to what I'm saying. We have to move away from that victim belief. We have to be able to say, hey, wait a minute. How did I contribute to this? What did I bring to this event? What did I bring to this equation? Instead of saying, when I say I'm a victim, that means all these external events happen and I have no control over them happening. Ergo, I'm a victim. Ergo, I'm a victim of fate. This is the way it is. And what we're going to talk about and look at is moving away from that and moving into accepting responsibility for creating or co-creating the event and the purpose that we have for doing that. We all know, though, that when we're in this place of fear, we're weak. And just as a test, take your fingers, your thumb, and your index finger, put them together and on both hands, and then interloop them. So now you have your thumb and your index finger between each other. And what I want you to do is think about somebody you love or something that makes you feel awesome. And now try and pull those fingers apart, and you'll see that they don't come apart. Okay? Now this is a kinesiology example. Now what I want you to do is think about something that really upsets you. Okay? And now try and pull them apart, and you see how quickly they came apart? So all you did was to think about something, and you see that your strength has been taken away from you. You give your energy to something that weakens you, and you've given away your power. You don't have the strength. You don't have the power. So try that for anything. And you can even try that in a grocery store. Is this whatever it is that you're going to get good for me or not? You know, and if it's good for you, you're not going to be able to pull those fingers apart. If it's not, you will be. And you can use a pendulum to do that. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. I just wanted to show you what happens in our body when that happens. And a matter of fact, what I've done on a number of occasions in front of live audiences is I'll take and ask for two volunteers, and the two volunteers will leave the room, and now I'll say to the audience, when they come back in, I want you, I want you to think of somebody you love. And I'll snap my finger, and I want you to think about something that really makes you angry or fearful or upset. Bring the two people back in. They don't even have a clue what's going on. And I'll have one hold his or her arm out. And then, you know, I'll snap my finger, and the audience knows that one person is, you're thinking about somebody you love. And I'll have the second person who try and pull down that first person's arm, and they can't do it. And then I'll snap my finger, and the audience switches what they're saying, what they're thinking, and the first volunteer puts their arm up, and the second one tries to pull it down, and boom, right down it comes. And the illustration is to prove the person in the room didn't even, volunteer number one, didn't even know what was going on. And it shows and proves that the energy in the room shifted and shifted their energy without them even knowing what's going on. So you can see how this kind of stuff, if you will, happens. At any rate, each one of us in our life has a story. And the story is about who we are. And we believe that this story is true. And that is the only thing that gives it power. And if we believe I'm not good enough because I'm a woman, because I'm old, because I'm overweight, because I don't have an education, because I don't, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. And I'll talk about this in a minute, but I'll bring it up now. I first heard this from Michael Beckwith probably 15 years ago, and it's this quote, and we've probably all heard it. Argue for your limitations, and they are yours. And that's what we have a tendency to do. These are my limitations. This is my story. This is what I can do. This is what I can't do. This is what I couldn't do yesterday. Therefore, I can't do it today. And if I can't do it today, I can't do it tomorrow. And we buy into that, and therefore we can't. Now, when, let's say, Usain Bolt gets to the line, and he's the world's fastest sprinter in the 100 and 200 meter, and he gets down there, and he holds the world record. And what is a world record but doing something nobody else has ever done, or doing it faster than anybody else has ever done? Do you think in his mind he thinks, I can't do this? No human being in the history of all creation has ever done it as fast as I'm going to do it? Absolutely not. He knows with absolute certainty that he's going to do it. And we need to garner that kind of focus, that kind of energy, and we can do it. We can do it. Every one of us can do it. So our story can be like a candle without oxygen. If I put a snuffer over the flame, it extinguishes the flame. And the flame cannot exist without the oxygen. That is, if you stop believing that your story is true, and your story is a story that I'm a victim of this and that and the other thing, then your story no longer exists. Which what? Puts you in a place of creating a new story. But before I get into how we create a new story, let's dismantle this victim mentality and our powerless story. Now, you all know that I do life coaching, and I'll coach people, and it amazes me how often they argue for those limitations. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've said this before, that I'll suggest to you, stand in front of a mirror, stark naked, look into the mirror, look through your eyes, into your heart and your soul, and say, I love you. You are beautiful. And you'd be amazed how many of you are saying, I can't do that. And it fascinates me when I'm face-to-face coaching somebody, immediately the eye contact is gone. They're looking anywhere but at me. So I can't help you, and you can't help yourself unless you're willing to let go of those limitations. Here's what happens. That story becomes your identity. It's what you've used as a crutch for X number of years or your whole life. And people buy into it, and it allows you to do whatever it is it allows you to do. People to feel sorry for you to feel less than, whatever it happens to be, it allows you to do that. So the challenge now is, if we're going to think of this, we talked, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about taking off our mask, which is our costume. So if I strip you of your story and you believe your story is who you are is your identity. And if I take away your identity, then you go, oh my God, who am I? Not trusting that we can create a new identity that will enable you to be more loving, to be more joyful, to have more abundance in your life, to be more grateful, to be more compassionate, to be more understanding. The challenge is that you have to trust that you have the power to do that. You have the power to let go of the old, negative, poor me line, story, identity, and pick up another story and say, who I am is this incredible human being, this spiritual being, who is the only person that God has ever given the gifts that I have. And here I am today. I am ready to use every one of these gifts. So your challenge will be, as you listen to this and we move through it, are you ready? Are you ready to let go of the poor me story? And all of us have it in certain aspects of our life. Some of us, it's stronger and weaker at different times. There was a book, Managing Transitions. I forget the author's name. Anyway, he says you get the old, the in-between, and the new. And the in-between is like you being a trapeze artist, and you let go of the first trapeze, and you're waiting for the second trapeze. That's a frightening time, and that's what we're talking about. And yet I'm going to talk to you about, in a minute, about all the things that you have done where you've gone from one trapeze to the other, and you never thought you could do it, and now you look back and say, you got to be kidding. You mean I was afraid to do that at one time? The other example he uses is William Bridges is the author. It's like Linus when his blanket is in the dryer. So as I said earlier, if you argue for your limitations, they're yours. So it doesn't work. What works is it serves you in a negative way. It becomes your belief. So stop arguing for your limitations that I can't do this and I can't do that. Nothing, this won't happen for me, that won't happen for me. We've already discussed the idea that your identity, your story becomes your identity. Now, you're comfortable with who you are in your story. You may not like it, but you're totally familiar with it, and you're comfortable with it. And that's why so often the incumbent politician gets reelected, because he or she is somebody we know, and they use the statement, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Another one then is, there's a baseball saying, you can't steal second base and take until you take your foot off of first base. In other words, what I'm saying is you can't create a new you until you let go of the old you. Now let's go talk about some of the examples I can give you about things that you couldn't do at one time that you do automatically without even thinking about it now. Depending upon how young you are, you may, if you're too young, you may never have tied your shoes, but tying your shoes, that was a big deal. When we were little kids, learning how to get dressed was a big deal. How about the first time we drove a stick shift? And you look down there and you go, wait a minute, there's three pedals, and there's only 2 feet. How does that work? And then they tell you, what do they tell you? Well, you ease your foot off the clutch and you give it a little gas. So what do? We pop the clutch and kill the motor. And then after we learn how to drive that stick shift, we tried doing that, and you couldn't do it because it was so automatic in the way the left foot released the clutch and the right foot put gas. I could sit there with a stick shift on an angle in the driveway and not have the car move. So we knew how to do it. We learned how to do it. How about when we took a new class, whether it was algebra or physics or chemistry or a math class or whatever it happened to be, and saying, oh, I'll never learn this. And now you look back at it and you go, wow, how did I ever believe that I wouldn't be able to learn this? How about a new job? When you looked at all the terminology and the things you had to learn, you go, oh my God, this is overwhelming. And now you look back at that job and say, really? I was that scared the first day? This stuff is a no-brainer. How about when we travel to a new country and we go somewhere where we don't know a language, or we move to a new city, or our son Matt, he went, I was going to say around 2000 or so, he moved to England all by himself. Thankfully, they kind of spoke English, but he went to a new country all alone and still loves it. So I could go on and on about the different things that you've learned how to do that at the time they presented themselves to you, you may well have thought, I can't do this. This is impossible. Now, what's going to happen if you make the decision to say, I'm going to discard my old story. Before I discard it, I'm going to create a new story, and then I'll discard my old story. Now, all of life is energy. So we're going to attract the kind of, we attract, have in our life today the kind of people who are attracted by the kind of energy that we're giving out today. And we come and we create a new me, then a lot of the people who are in that energy are going to leave, and they're going to be replaced by people who reflect your power back to you. When you create an identity that says, hey, I accept the responsibility for everything in my life. I create it. I bring it to me. It's all there so that I can learn something. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to accept the responsibility. And I know that I have an infinite variety of choices. And I can shift the way I look at it. I can change my energy. There's all kinds of things that we can do. Tony Robbins talked about it. And I went to three of his programs in the 80s. So obviously it's been a long time. But how many is that? 98, 88, 08, 25 years. And I still remember a lot of the things he said. And one of the things he talked about is, if we're depressed, what's our physiology? Our physiology is that our head is down, our shoulders are slumped, and our voice is soft. And he said, change your physiology. Throw your head up. Throw your shoulders out. Boom your voice and try saying, oh, man, life sucks, and then you die. And try and see how depressed you can be. You can't. You got to change that physiology. And it's the same thing when you get scared, when you have fear, when you feel like a victim. Change that physiology. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know I'm going to get through it. I don't have to know how I'm going to get through it. Jack Canfield talks about how we can go in a car at night from New York to San Diego and only be able to see the distance of our headlights are shining the road, which is 100 to 150 feet, and we can get across this entire country only being able to see 150 feet at a time. So know then that when you embark on this new adventure, you don't have to see the whole thing. You want to see what's there with you now. And it's the same thing with everything we do. Be a conscious observer of everything that's going on in your life. See it. I mean, when we go on a vacation, what do we want to do? We want to see stuff. We want to participate in it. That's why I never rent a car in a foreign country. I don't want to drive. I don't know the language. And I'm not going to be able to see the things that are going on. Let me get into some of the beliefs of a victim mentality, and then I'm going to move into what we're going to do to reclaim our power. Obviously, one of the beliefs is that I'm powerless. I can't do this. We bought into this. You may have been a girl and you were told that you can't do that. In the news in the last few weeks, we've heard about in professional football, there's a player that quit the team because somebody else was bullying him. Now, this guy is 6'6", 310 pounds or something like that, and even he feels that he was bullied. And there was an article in the paper the other day about how women in the military, how they feel bullied. So bullying is a big thing, and we can't accept that. We got to stand up and claim our power and stand there and be able to know in ourselves that we can do what we stand there to do. That's your choice. You can allow someone to intimidate you, or you can say, no, I don't buy that. You know, I could yell and scream and say, you know, you're a Ku Klux Klan, and you hate this and that and the other thing, and you go, what's he talking about? That's not true. But yet if I say, well, you're too old, you're too short, you don't have the education, you're a woman, you're this, you're that, some of you will buy into that. Don't. Don't buy into anybody who says you can't. That's an energy you don't want in your life. You only want people in your life that say you can do this. Susan Jeffers wrote a book, and the title of the book was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And there was another book written, and I don't remember the author. It's Don't Tell Me I Can't Do Something Until After I've Done It. So delete the mentality that you're powerless. Obviously, you're going to replace it with, I have all the power I want. Second thing is that things happen to me all the time. Absolutely, things happen to us. And we get to choose the meaning that we're going to give to everything that happens to us in our life. We can choose the meaning, poor me, or we can choose the meaning, wow, I got a lot that I learned from this. Who was it? Christopher Reeve, that became a quadriplegic. He's testifying in front of Congress. He still had hope and saw things from a positive point of view. Quadriplegic. Going from quote-unquote Superman to a quadriplegic, and yet he didn't see himself as a victim. So, the next thing is that I have no luck, or if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, you just got to delete that from your vocabulary. Remember, all of life, you're a magnet. And a magnet can only bring to it iron. And when iron gets close to it, boom, it gets sucked right into your magnet. So now the difference between a regular magnet and your magnet is that you don't attract iron to you. You attract to you whatever energy you're putting out. You're putting out the energy of poor me, I'm a victim, talk about karma, whatever you want to call it. That's what's going to come back to you. Whatever energy you're putting out, you're going to attract that right back into you and into your life. So you are the only one who can decide what energy you're going to put out there. And we talked earlier about how that works and how somebody walks in a room and all I did was shift the energy of the room and it impacted the individual. It's your choice. Remember, we've had programs on this about choice. You have an infinite supply of choice. You can always change your mind. We hear the saying, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. It's a human being's prerogative to change their mind. We can all change our mind as often as we want because all we're doing is we're getting outcomes. And if we don't get the outcome we want, then we need to make a choice to change something about it until we get the outcome we want. That's what life is about. Don't believe in limitations. Choose, 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 choose until you get it right. Think of it like you're baking a cake, you're doing a physics experiment, you're doing a chemistry experiment, whatever you're doing. You have a list of steps that you go through, and you have a desired outcome. And if you don't get the desired outcome, you go back and you change one of the steps, and you conclude and redo the recipe, redo the physics or chemistry experiment, and if you still don't get the outcome, you change another thing until you get the desired outcome. Then when you get the desired outcome, you want to make a cookie cutter out of it, and you want to duplicate that through your entire life. And in order to do that, you have to be able to observe what's going on, and you have to be able to use all of your senses so that you can feel it, feel the way you breathe, feel the way it smelled, feel how the air moved over your body, feel how it tastes, feel, you know, the sound, the sights. All of those things are resources that you have available to be able to create whatever it is you want for your life. Don't ever believe anybody that tells you you can't do this. Some people have a poor me attitude, which results in frequent pity parties. One recommendation about pity parties, if you're going to have a pity party, and we're all going to have pity parties, you know, I'm not saying that we can drop everything that we believed our whole life and then listen to Jim's show today and we're going to pick up something new and we're going to be a totally new me and it's never going to happen again. Life is a process, okay? And there's going to be times where we're going to regress. But here's the deal. If you're going to have a pity party, you want to invite me over. Tell me what time the party starts. Tell me what time the party's over. And I'll sit there and I'll feel sorry for you for an hour or 2 hours or something like that. And then, boom, you move on with your life. Have your party. Be done. Conclude it. Wrap it up. Burn it. Throw it away. And say, next, I got to move on. Another belief of the victim mentality is that everybody's against me. Well, again, that's a belief. Everything is a point of view. That's what you're looking for. I worked for a guy in the 80s, and he said that what we do is we come to a conclusion, and then we look for evidence that supports that point of view. And what we're going to do is we're going to find everything we look for. The man's name was Michael Gerber, and he wrote the E-Myth and more books. You can always Google that. But Michael Gerber, excuse me a second. Wet my whistle. I can do that on stage. I can do it on radio too, can't I? Yeah, I can. Okay, talk to yourself. I like talking to myself. I get the answers I get with myself. Anyway, myself doesn't usually talk back to me, but we can move on right here. Nobody's against you. Create allies. Create people who are going to compliment you. Create people who are going to support you. Create people who are going to love you just the way you are. My wife, Rosemary, when we go on vacation, every time we come back, she thinks, oh, my God, things have changed at work. And I go, wait a minute. You go back and everybody, she's been a hospital pharmacist for over 50 years. She just celebrated her 50th class reunion as a pharmacist last month. And everybody, the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, they hug her. And they say, oh, my God, Rosemary, you're back. We thought you left. Now, she's been there 34 years, going on 35 years, but they think that she's left. But the point is that you can't get scared of stuff. Don't ever get scared. Nobody's against you. We're all here together. We're all here. In my opinion, our purpose is two purposes. One is to be able to love ourselves the way we are, and the extension of that is to love other people and the way they are. And then the other thing is we're here to take care of each other. I can do certain things, you can do certain things that I can't do. We had yoga this morning, and they have one of those exercises where she said, some of you are going to consider this easy. Tuesday's yoga against the wall, and you back up to the wall, and you're kneeling, and you put one leg up on the wall, and then you stand on your foot on the other leg. So, in other words, I'm on my knee, and now I got a kneel, regular kneeling, except my right foot is up the wall. And I can't do that. Some people, not only if they do that, they can kneel there, and they have their hands up against the wall, and then just, oh. All right, so do I worry about it? Heck no. And there's other exercises I can do that other people can't do. So you just let that stuff go. Be who you are, accept that who you are is who you are, and each one of us has our strengths, and each one of us has our weakness. Give up the attitude that it's useless, it's hopeless. Give it up. Find a way to make it work. And you just say, there's got to be a way to make it work. There's got to be. And you be open for that, and you look for what you want, because all you're ever going to find is what you look for. So you got to decide what it is you're going to look for. You want to look for what you don't have? That's what you're going to find. The last one I want to share with you, next to last. In the past, every time I tried something new, I failed, and the past is the best indication of the future. Nonsense. The past is the past, period. It's the way you looked at it. It was who you were then. Who you are today isn't who you were, unless you want to drag yesterday into today. Boom. Classic example for that for me was when we brought my mother-in-law out from Chicago, and we put her in a board and care home, and a week later there was the Northridge earthquake, and it was 4:30 in the morning, and she thought that somebody was trying to wake her up. She had never been in an earthquake before. She opened her eyes, she looked around the room, nobody was in the room. She went right back to sleep. She searched her brain for what was going on. Her brain has no reference point, so she didn't give it any meaning. Meanwhile, the rest of the country knows about the Northridge earthquake. But she didn't give it any meaning. So don't say, I didn't do it in the past, so I can't do it. Thomas Edison invented many things. The thing he's probably most famous for is the light bulb. And about halfway through, he did 10,000 experiments before he invented a light bulb. But halfway through, somebody on his staff came to him and said, Tom, you're a failure. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you've got 5,000 failed experiments. Edison said, I'm not a failure. I've discovered 5,000 ways not to invent a light bulb. Now, isn't that a different way of looking at it than the way you've looked at it? It's not a failure. You've discovered a way not to make it work. That's finding another way to look at it, isn't it? So delete the word failure from your life. Or redefine the word failure as, I can only fail if I don't try. And boom, on you go. It's your choice. Thomas Edison went 0 for 10,000. And yet nobody considers him a failure. Nobody. How many of you have ever tried the same thing 1,000 times, let alone 10,000 times, or even 100 times? Your choice. And the last one is, we all have this story, and the story is called Life According to Me. This is the way life is, this is the way I am, and that's the way it goes. So, again, all you got to do is to create a new story. Do it all over. It's your life, it's your choice. What do you want it to do? Okay, so now let's move into, let me see my time here. Let me move ahead. I was going to play some music, but we'll move into in order to reclaim your power and take back control of your life, here's some ideas that you want to consider. And remember, as we're doing this, at the end I want you to be thinking about the one thing you get out of this. Number one is, accept responsibility for everything that happens in your life. Ask yourself, what did I create this for, or why did I bring this into my life? What did I do? How did I create this to teach me something? If we're going to play, we're going to dismiss. We're firing the victim mentality. That's fired. It's done. We've went through that in the first half of the show, and now we fired them. They're out of here, and now I am accepting responsibility that I create everything I do. And next week's show is on how thoughts create. So next week we're going to talk all about the details of how our thoughts create who we are. But for now, we're just going to use that as an umbrella. You got to accept responsibility. And you say, oh my God, but look at my life. It's all screwed up. Jim, I this, that, the other thing. Forget that, okay? That's the victim mentality. You look down and there you see your life and it's a pile of manure. And you go, holy cow, I didn't know I could create that. Oh, wait a minute. The reality is that if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that at different times in our life we sabotage ourselves. So get over this crap of, I wouldn't do that to myself. We all have done it to ourselves. So now we're done with that. We've become observers of life. We look down there and we say, wow, I created this manure. I don't want manure. Good. Okay, but you didn't know you were creating manure. Now let's look on the other side and say, oh, look at this blank slate here. What do I want to create? Now I'm becoming a conscious creator. What do I want to create? What are the thoughts I want to have that are going to create the life that I want for myself, for the people I love? What do I want to create? Your choice. In order for that to happen, you have to accept responsibility that you created. Remember, we're observers. We're not judges. We're not critics. We see what we create. We say, okay, that wasn't what I wanted. We go back into the laboratory and say, what do I want? What do I have to think? What do I have to believe in order for me to be able to attract this, like a magnet, into my life? What's it about? How do I do it? So we're going to ask ourselves about that, and then we're going to become this conscious creator and accept that what we're doing is, we're always in the laboratory. We're students of life. I don't care what you call it, whether you call it the chemistry lab, the baking lab, the sewing lab, the physics lab, the astronomy lab. It doesn't make any difference. We are all students of life. Now remember, almost every week, and one of these days I'm going to have to email her and ask her if she wants to come on the show, I quote the title of Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business. Boom, okay, you got to accept that. And I have down here Oh, I lost the place. Anyway, I have a quote here, and it's out of context. Oh, well. Anyway, moving right along. Your number one priority in your life is to take care of yourself. Here's some suggestions that have to happen. And some people say, oh, but wait a minute, Jim. You know, I got to take care of my children. I have a mentally retarded son that's 40. I have a this, I have a that. You can't take care of anybody or anything unless you can come to that person, to that relationship, with a full tank of gas. You're worthless if you're on empty, if you're running on fumes, if you're exhausted, if you're dragging your body from one day to the next. So that in order to treat yourself as number one priority in your life, you need to be able to love yourself just the way you are. You've got to be able to nurture yourself and take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually. Rosemary is downstairs listening to the show, and she's off today, and she said, I promised my body I was going to rest today. Boom. Talk to your body. We talked about that last week when we talked about minimizing holiday stress. You got to nurture yourself. It's amazing how people don't have money for this, that, or the other thing, or have money for this, that, and the other thing, particularly medical bills, but when it comes to nurturing themselves, they don't. Many people find themselves as the hardest person to forgive. You got to forgive yourself. Forget all about this stuff. This is a laboratory, remember? It's an experiential laboratory. And all we're doing are conducting experiments and we're looking for outcomes. So we have to be able to forgive ourselves because we didn't know how to do something. Or we said something wrong. Every human being that's ever lived has had something come out of their mouth or done something that they regret. Forgive yourself. And don't tell me, but Jim, you don't know what I did. Doesn't matter. You got to be able to take care of yourself. And to take care of yourself, you've got to be able to forgive yourself. And once you're able to forgive yourself, then you've got to be able to accept yourself just the way you are. We all have warts. Accept the warts. We all have shortcomings. Accept the shortcomings. You got to be able to accept yourself the way you are. And accept that your past in no way relates to your future. The future can be and will be different than the past. Your choice. You keep hearing that word choice in the last 45 minutes? You're always a choice. You get to choose. Nobody gets to tell you who you are. There's a book on the bestseller list about that girl, I believe from Pakistan, who was 15 years old, who stood up to the Taliban and got shot in the face because she said girls have to have right and access to education. And now she has a best-selling book at 15. She's known worldwide. She didn't buy into that, did she? The future is yours to create. Do you want to create a better future than the past? If you do, then you got to believe different, you got to think different, and you got to know that right now, today, you're beginning to create a different future than from the past. And you have all the power to do that. It is your choice. Acknowledge that your thoughts are creating what your reality is or your future. And like I said earlier, that's what next week's show is going to be on. It's going to be on how our thoughts create. You're the only one, and I'll talk in more detail about this next week, you're the only one that can control your thoughts. Nobody else can, okay? Nobody else can get in your head. And don't let anybody else in your head rent-free. Kick them out. Evict them. It's your head. It's your life. Get rid of them. You set the borders. You set the... Oh, I forget the word I want to use. Oh, well. It'll come to me. again, you're the only one to can decide which thoughts you want to accept and which ones you want to reject. If I try to make you feel guilty and you refuse, I still have the guilt, right? Now, here's the way this works, and again, we'll go into this in more detail next week. If you're constantly thinking about what you have, your subconscious mind will give you more of what you have. Here's the problem. Most of us, what we have is not what we want. So our subconscious mind says, this is what they're thinking about, this is what they have, they want, and what they have is what they don't want, but that's what they keep thinking about. Let's give them more of what they're thinking about, which is what you don't want. So you're going to continue to get more. So you got to now focus on what do I want, not what don't I want. Some of you may be familiar with Esther Hicks. She channels a being called Abraham, and in there they give an example, many examples. Look it up. There's, I think I've got 7 or 8 of their books, Esther Hicks and Abraham, and it's like the way life is we're rowing upstream, and we're in the boat, and we're rowing upstream, and everything we don't want is up the stream. And someone says to us, why are you rowing upstream? What's our answer? Because everybody else is rowing upstream. Now, does that make a lick of sense at all? Not when we're sitting here talking like this, no. But we all do it, don't we? Everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do it. So how do you change it? This is rocket science, folks. You got to listen to this. You got to write it down. Drop the oars, because everything you want is downstream. Stop fighting to get everything you don't want. Stop fighting to be like everybody else. Biggest way you can insult me is to call me normal. I don't want to be normal. I want to be me. Sammy Davis Jr.'s song, I Gotta Be Me. Get up there and sing that song. Get the lyrics. Just Google I Gotta Be Me, Sammy Davis Jr. The lyrics will come up and read it to yourself. And be true to yourself and be who you are. Remember, you're the only one that can decide which thoughts you're going to accept and which ones you're going to reject. When we're doing this and giving off these thoughts, everything, as I mentioned earlier, is energy. And Esther refers to these as rockets of energy. We're shooting off these rockets. What do we want? What do we want to shoot off? What do we want to attract? Think about what you want your life to be like. Now, I don't need you to think about how you're going to get that. I think you need to create this vision board for yourself of how you want it to be. It's like when we were little kids and we were asked for our birthday, for Christmas, for Hanukkah, whatever. Incidentally, I found out last week that Hanukkah and Thanksgiving are the same day. That has nothing to do with anything. Think about what you want your life to be. You don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. You got to keep your focus on that. And you're going to wait for inspired action. It's not how much action you take. It's how good the action is. These thoughts that we send out into the universe are sent out onto a certain wavelength. So therefore, like we've been talking about, those are the only thoughts that can be transmitted back to you. It's not your responsibility to figure out how to create this. We just talked about that. I'm out of order here. Focus on where you want to go, not where you've been. Okay? Now, if you drive a car and you're looking in your rearview mirror all the time, how long is it going to be before you're in an accident? You got to keep all your attention on where you want to go. Tony Robbins said when he was learning how to drive a race car, they said when the car goes into a spin, you look where you want the car to go, not where the car is going. Okay? Same thing. Where do you want your life to go? And I don't need to hear all about this, but Jim, if you only knew what happened to me, and I can sit here and I can give you hundreds and thousands of examples of extremely successful people who, according to you, had failure. I think Walt Disney went bankrupt 7 times. Bill Gates, the wealthiest man in the world, he's a college dropout. You know, we can go on and on and on about people and what they were able to do, and some people could say, oh, my God, I'm a failure. Stay focused on what you want, not on what you don't want. You got to be consciously aware of what you're thinking, and as soon as you realize that these thoughts are negative, you got to kick them out. Boom, boom, boom. You got to create your vision board. You got to bring it to life, and you got to give it energy every day. So, what's a vision board? You go and get magazines, get pictures. You put them up. Where do you want to live? What do you want it to look like? What do you want to do? What's your job? You know, you go on and on and on, and you get that, and you gotta be like Geppetto, making Pinocchio come to life. You gotta create it. You gotta see it. You gotta visualize it, and you gotta bring it to life. So we're gonna wrap this up by talking about claiming your power. Number one, people aren't excited about power because we've seen heads of religions abuse power. We've seen presidents of country abuse power. We've seen heads of huge organizations abuse power. We've been in our work environment where people have abused the power. So power isn't something that most of us aspire to and say, I want power. Well, first of all, let's talk about it from personal power. And secondly, you got to sit here and say, hey, wait a minute. I am here. Power is my inheritance, and my power is sacred. And I know and I trust myself that I will never abuse my power. I will claim my power, and I will never use that power to manipulate anybody else. I am who I am. My power is sacred. Now you got to believe that you deserve the best in life. You got to believe it, and you can't say it's because of this or that. Remember, the opening quote was, at the heart of personality is the need to feel a sense of being lovable without having to qualify for that acceptance. So it's the same thing. Let's put the word the best in life. At the heart of personality is the need to feel that I'm entitled to the best of life without having to qualify for that acceptance. Can you buy into that? Can you buy into that you're entitled to have the best life has to offer, no matter what you did? Because remember, earlier we said you forgave yourself. So you've got to forgive yourself. Abundance is your inheritance. Now, this is like winning the lottery ticket, isn't it? You win the lottery ticket. What do you have to do? You have to go cash the lottery ticket in, don't you? It's the same thing. If abundance is your inheritance, if you get to have the best of life, then you got to claim your inheritance. Remember, you're the only person that God ever gave the gifts he gave to you. Therefore, you are unique. You are one of a kind. And remember the bumper sticker, God don't make no junk. The world, we need you. We need you to use your unique gifts. And we need you to use them every day. We need you to help make this a better world to live in. And therefore, we must have you using your gifts. You, the only one who got these gifts. We need you to use your gifts in order for this to be a better world for everyone to live in. You got to have the courage and the confidence to claim your power. Just stand up there and do it. Just claim your power. Reclaim who you are, your divine inheritance. Stand there with it. And I've used this quote before. If we knew who walks beside us on the path we have chosen, fear would be impossible. That's from Course in Miracles. So remember that. Who's walking beside you on the path you've chosen? Together, you can have the courage and the confidence to claim your power. And in order for that to happen, you have to be true to yourself. Okay? You get to decide what that means, being true to yourself. I'm not going to tell you what being true to yourself is. But being true to yourself is not allowing other people to tell you who you are. It's not allowing or giving away your power to other people. It's not about being intimidated. It's about Sammy Davis Jr.'s song, I Gotta Be Me. When do you give yourself permission to be you and let everybody else be themselves? I need you to believe that this world is a better place because we have you. Now, Rosemary and I have traveled much more than most any of you out there have. We've been to 100 countries, and I had to give up the concept of the world because it was too immense for me. So I totally scrapped the concept of the world, and I deleted that, and now it's my world. And my world is very simple. My world are the people I interact with every day. Whether it's on the radio show with you, whether it's a live audience, whether it's calling in for a customer service, whether it's people at the gym, whether it's people at the grocery store, whether it's people when I'm writing a book, whoever it is, those are my people. That's my world. I love little kids. And they have these little stuffed animals. And I ask them, well, could I have your teddy bear? And they hold on to their teddy bear. And I just told Rosemary before I came up here to do the show, she gave me, for Valentine's Day, she gave me this pink pig. And the pig, my pig, sings and dances. And you push this little button and it starts singing and dancing. And I said to her, I'm going to take it. I have this bag. I, you know, it's a purse, but it's a bag. And I take everywhere. And so I'm going to keep that in there. And when I see a little kid and I say, you want to see my little pink stuffed animal? And when I play with little kids, their parents love it. Absolutely love it. So this is a digression, but please, please, please play. Play. Be innocent. Have fun. Enjoy every moment of every day. So the last thing I have here is nobody can ever take your power away. You can only give it away. As always, my closing question is, what was the most important thing you got out of today's program? And I'm going to close by sharing with you part of what Marianne Williamson wrote for Nelson Mandela in his 1994 inaugural speech. And this is called, You Are a Child of God. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about around you. I'm going to repeat that. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within each of us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we shine our own light, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. If you want a copy of that, first thing I suggest is Google, You Are a Child of God. If that doesn't work for you, email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Join me next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, and that show, as I said, is going to be on how thoughts create. I'm looking here at my notes and I don't have a closing quote. Oh well, so we'll just close. Please remember to love yourself. And I send love from my heart to your heart. I ask you to receive this love, and I ask you to share it with everybody in your world. There is an infinite supply of love. I love you. Bye-bye.